Well, President Barack Obama marked his first 100 days in office with a primetime news conference. It was the third of his presidency and the first not dominated by a recession. But there are other threats on the president's mind. We're joined now by Jane Newton-Small. She's the Washington reporter for Time magazine. Good morning, Jane.
Good morning, Femi.
Well, of course, the president really started off the press conference talking about swine flu. Did his remarks actually comfort you?
Well, no, and that was the point, is that they were meant to scare you a little bit. I heard from administration officials that he really wanted people to be a little bit, you know, wary, like, oh my God, I didn't realize it was that serious, because, you know, it's better to err on the side of caution than to sort of say, no, it's okay, everything's okay, just keep going about your business, and if you really do not feel well, stay home from work. If your kids aren't feeling well, keep them home from school. Don't get on an airplane and try not to spread this thing. And I think he did that. He wanted to make sure that people were a little bit freaked out by it.
Also, one reporter put the question to him about how about closing the border to Mexico. Jay, have a listen to his response here.
At this point, they have not recommended a border closing. From their perspective, it would be akin to closing the barn door after the horses are out, because we already have cases here in the United States. We have ramped up screening efforts, as well as made sure that additional supplies are there on the border so that we can prepare in the eventuality that we have to do more than we're doing currently.
Jay, did you get any sense the president knows more than he's actually sharing with the public?
I'm sure that the president knows more than he's sharing with the public. He is the president, after all, and gets lots of briefings that we don't get. But there, I mean, look, we even reported in the news, you had kids who fell sick because they were visiting Disney World in Orlando and spread it there. So just because you close the border now, I mean, we've had tons of Mexicans that have come into the country since the beginning of this illness. We have lots of Americans that have gone to Mexico. In terms of trade, it would be catastrophic. I think at this point we've got so many cases, more than 90 or 100 cases in the U.S. already. He's right. It would be sort of closing the barn door after the horse has already gotten out. You're not going to prevent it from spreading to the U.S.
During his speech last night, the president also actually allotted a certain amount of money as well to tackling swine flu. Have a listen to this.
That's why I asked for an additional $1.5 billion so that we can make sure that everything is in place should a worst-case scenario play out.
And Todd, you were talking to me this morning about this $1.5 billion. It has a specific relevance, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, they want to use it. I was in a hearing the other day where Congress, members of Congress and the Senate first brought this money up. They tried to get some of this money in the stimulus, but they want it for antiviral drugs like Tamiflu to ramp up local and state stockpiles of those drugs, to hire public health workers, to get masks, basic equipment, all of the really, really basic things aside from hand washing that really help spread, help stop the spread of any kind of flu pandemic, including H1N1. Jay, the president was really quick to jump on this $1.5 billion. Looks like it's going in the war supplemental that's coming up, right? Emergency funding?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's two things about this. One is that, you know, the president was very quick to acknowledge that President Bush's preparedness plans for this stuff, which were put in place after the avian flu /SARS scare, were excellent. And in fact, they've been using the Bush plan and it's been working really well. At the same time, there were a lot of Democrats on the Hill who were also sort of saying, look, we had $900 million in the stimulus bill for pandemic flu preparations, which the Republicans took out. And now we're going to get $1.5 billion, which we'll put in the war stuff. This is an example of why the stimulus is so important. It's an example of how the money could potentially be spent out a lot quicker than you would imagine.
All right. Well, Jay, the other day in the subcommittee hearing, when I was in there, the hearing was going on with Senator Tom Harkin, who was asking the money and talking to the public health officials. And then another senator walked into the room and sat on the Democratic side of the aisle for the very first time in a Senate career. And believe me, everyone in the room noticed. It was Arlen Specter, and he had just announced about an hour before that he was switching parties. And he came into that subcommittee. He used to be ranking Republican on that subcommittee. And he sat down on the Democratic side of the aisle, and everybody tittered and shuffled when he did it. So Arlen Specter's joining the Democrats. You like my segue? I just segued right into this. Is the Republican Party, thank you. Is the Republican Party now in desperate straits now that Arlen Specter has deserted them? He seems to think that they are in dire straits.
Well, certainly the Republicans have, they woke up yesterday morning and were sounding the alarm, oh my God, you know, 60 votes, there's going to be no checks and balances, rampant Democratic control. And Obama was right, you know, he struck a much more calmer tone and sort of said, look, it's not always going to be 60 votes that easily. And I think he's right. Look, there's a lot of Democrats that he has a problem bringing on board in the Senate for some of these really big ticket items, yeah, like health care reform, like energy reform. But what it will, where it will make a difference very quickly and very easily, is a lot of these procedural votes, which, you know, you and I have both seen this in the last 2 years, where there's been 158 motions for cloture filed. Not all of them have gone through, but it's just a lot of gumming up the works.
That means
very
delay. Motions
things.
For cloture just means delay, right?
Exactly. Well, it's to overcome a filibuster. Right. It takes 60 votes to overcome it, and they file it for everything from, like, you know, moving on to this, to talk about this amendment. No, we don't want to talk about this amendment. We want to keep talking about the other amendment, you know, which for no particular reason or for whatever reason they want to slow things down. And it basically strips them of the ability to slow things down the way they have in the last 2 years, and so it'll fast-track a lot of stuff.
Jay Newton-Small, she's a Washington reporter for Time magazine. Jay, thanks for getting up early for us this morning.
Thanks.
Take care. So we are asking on The Takeaway this morning about your ideas to help your friends, to help America get jobs. Ideas for the unemployed on how to beat unemployment. 1-877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. Give us your top tips for getting work.